A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey guys, this is Erica Ramirez, senior editor at Billboard. For this week's episode of the Juice Podcast, I have my coworker Jason Lipschutz.
Oh my God, you got it right. This is the first time.
I think it's because I stared at you in the eyes, so I was a little frightened to get it wrong. But it is a special episode because we are answering fans' questions that they submitted via Twitter. You've done it before. You've done it on the Pop Shop podcast.
I did, yeah. We do Ask the Pop Shop on the Pop Shop podcast, and people ask Keith Caulfield and I questions about pop and the charts, and I'm like, hey, let's do a Juice podcast with hip-hop and R&B questions. You have, to those listening to this and who do not follow Erica on Twitter, she has like, how many Twitter followers? You have like 150,000, somewhere
around
like that. You have an army of Juice lits.
I will say that it's over 10,000.
Okay, so you are dwarfing me. And let's do it.
Yes. So let's get started. So the first question is from Midwest Prince 82.
So wait, do you want me? I feel like I'm here to read the questions.
What?
I thought I was going to be like your sidekick today.
If you would like to. Okay.
Dear, because these questions aren't for me. Like
both of us.
That's not true at all. No one writes to the Juice thinking, oh,
Jason Lipschutz
answer this? No. Right. I will ask the questions.
But we will both answer.
We'll both answer.
Okay.
Okay, so Midwest Prince 82 wants to know, hey, Erica. I added the hey, Erica, but I figure he's friendly, she's friendly. Do you think Lil Wayne's next album can outsell Drake's last album? A good first question.
I think that it can. I believe that the Carter 4, I believe, was the album that got, if not not close, then exactly, it sold like, what's it like?
Like 954,000.
Yeah. It was close to a million for first week.
Yes.
So I will never undermine Lil Wayne's fans, especially when it comes to those first week sales.
It's true.
Also, you know, it's rumored to be Lil Wayne's last album. I have a feeling it's not. I have a feeling it might be the last album of the Carter, like, series.
Yeah.
So, but if...
More rebirth, you're saying.
Oh, you want more rebirth. But knowing all that, I feel like it can. Now, I'm also curious as to how much Drake's next album will sell, because I feel like his albums get better and better each time, although I may kind of argue that Take Care is a better album than Nothing Was the Same.
Yeah.
Me, personally. Yeah. But I do think that he gets better at his many skills with each album. But I do think that Lil Wayne has a possibility to outsell Nothing Was the Same.
So I'm looking up the chart, the sales performances. And like I said, Lil Wayne's Carter 4 in 2011 sold 964,000 copies in its first week. Nothing Was the Same, Drake's last album, sold 658,000 copies in its first week. So obviously a huge difference, but one could argue that Lil Wayne was a lot hotter in 2011 than he is in 2014.
Yes.
As you said, still can't underestimate Lil Wayne, but I think, I don't know if a Lil Wayne album would sell over 658,000 copies now.
I don't know.
I guess it all depends on like the single.
I think it will definitely not sell as much as the Carter 4.
Yeah.
Sold. Definitely.
Let me ask you a question.
I do think a lot of those copies were bought by Birdman, but
rubbing his hands together at Best Buy.
Yes.
How many songs off the top of your head from the Carter 4 can you name? And I'm not going to ask you to name it, but like I can name maybe 4.
I will answer that by saying that I did not like the Carter 4. That is how I will. And now I will also say that I know every song of Drake's and Nothing Was the Same.
Yeah, exactly.
But I, you know, I lean towards Drake because I'm just more of a fan of Drake than I am of Lil Wayne. The more emo, the better for me, clearly. Will he sell more than 600,000? I mean, I don't know. Jeezy just sold 121,000. And this is Jeezy that we're talking about. So it's a little hard.
I don't know if that's a shot at Jeezy, but.
It is a shot at Jeezy.
Like he sold 120,000. I don't like that at all.
I know this might be making you mad, but I mean, I wish. No, I mean, I wish. I feel like he should have sold more, but I think nowadays you just can't tell.
Yeah. Well, that was a good first question, I feel like. Except for the shot at Jeezy. So. Ari Hart 1 wants to know, hey, Erica, not a question, but was wondering, can you hit on the UK R&B artists versus US R&B artists?
So you can attest that I have many, that probably my favorite R&B artists are from the UK, at least the ones now that I listen to still. Adele, Sam Smith, Adele, Jessie Ware. I think that U.S. R&B artists are also more experimental nowadays.
Yeah, so that's what I was just going to say, is that, like, I'm a big fan of someone like Jessie Ware, of I'm a fan of Sam Smith, but also if you think about, like, Miguel, if you think about, like, Frank Ocean, right. Yeah, definitely more experimental, which I appreciate more.
Yeah, I do. I'm very excited to hear Frank Ocean's album because I feel like it won't be like the last, but it also will be exploring like other elements. And I think that I like that you can expect that. You could expect.
No, I think that it is interesting to kind of see that split between the UK and the US. I feel like, yeah, there's just like a lot of emo-ness, to borrow a phrase you love, and a lot of emo-ness in the UK. Maybe it's just really gloomy over there.
Maybe I need to move over there and just feel at home.
Just like Adele, like a lot of like looking up at the clouds and being like, it looks like rain again. And just let me write a song. That's fine. But yeah, I feel
hope
like
that's not a shot at Adele.
It is not a shot at Adele.
Because I will keep throwing shots at Jeezy if you throw shots at Adele.
Oh, please. Anyway,
okay.
Moving on. Anthony and Moore wants to know, hey, Erica, I'm still, none of these people are saying, hey, Erica, but I just like it. Hey, Erica, 3 songs you can't stop playing these days. Ooh.
Now, these days, I'm going to consider just this, like this week, because I can go back and listen to Adele over and over again, which I did yesterday. Of course, Jessie Ware's Say You Love Me.
Yeah.
The video came out on Thursday, and it was literally just Jessie Ware on a rock singing the lyrics, and I just stared at it the entire time. That shows you how much I love the song. Also, I've been listening to Alex Clare, which you pointed out today.
Yeah. So, backstory of that. I follow Erica on Spotify, of course, and she's listening to the Alex Clare album. And I'm like, I am her. I'm like, so you're listening to Alex Clare.
Are you okay? And I don't even know why you asked me that, because you should know I just listen to that even when I am okay.
Okay.
But I've been listening to Alex Clare's album, first album, and mostly all of it. But I really, somehow I'm starting to enjoy I Love You on it a lot more. And because I was obsessed with Too Close. But now I'm switching over to I Love You. And I'm trying to think of another song. There's this new artist, which I talked about on our new music podcast.
Must hear music. Yeah.
Yes. Nick Hakim is this new artist from Brooklyn. He's currently in the UK. And I've been playing his new EP. There's not no specific song, but he's a new artist that I've been listening to a lot. Jason, what songs have you been listening to?
Ooh.
Besides Migos, which you shared with us
Migos. No, I won't talk about Migos on this podcast. Do they have to be hip-hop and R&B, or just all over the
you
place?
You are the pop editor. I feel like you have a range to choose from.
Okay, so the Tovlo album is incredible, and it's coming out in a couple weeks. It's called Queen of the Clouds. There was a song called Time Bomb that kind of leaked online in the past few days. It's the best song on the album. I don't know if it, like, it has to be on the internet somewhere because it got leaked and then it got taken down. Yeah. Anyway, Tove Lo, definitely number one. I really like the new album by The Preachers, Blue Planet Eyes. I think you'd actually kind of like The Preachers. I know, you know, it's on the rock tip.
But you have to, you know, you have to put it in front of me.
A little bit of Haim vibes.
I like Haim.
Yeah. I mean, female vocalist, like kind of like that like kicky little bass line in all these songs. So The Preachers, check them out. Blue Planet Eyes. I will send that to you as well. And what would Erica absolutely hate? That is a good question. Oh, how about pop punk? Yes, Candy Hearts. Give me Candy Hearts all day. Candy Hearts is a pop punk band, and they have an album out called All the Ways You Let Me Down. If you like Paramore, check out Candy Hearts.
Oh, shout out to Chris Payne.
Shout out to Chris Payne,
our editorial assistant, who is a big fan of Paramore.
Yes, and a big fan of Candy Hearts. So all the hip-hop and R&B fans listening to this podcast who are like, oh, I vaguely like pop punk. Okay, so at Taj Rainey.
Taj Rani.
Sorry, Taj. Who is the best, by the way? Wants to know, hey, Erica, do you think that Usher postponing his album is because of label pushback? Or because he wasn't satisfied? Hashtag juice podcast.
I feel like, let's see, Usher has put out around 3 singles now.
Yep.
They're all a little bit different, not too different. It's just, it's a little weird. They're
all really good.
I think that Believe Me is probably the best one, which is his latest single, his 3rd one out of all of them. You can argue that Good Kisser is also really, really good, which it is. But I still am a fan of Believe Me. I feel like Usher is not too certain as to the route that he wants to go with this album. Like, if he wants to be heavy in R&B, if he still wants to explore EDM, and if that's the case, it's how do you do that? And I mentioned this on an episode kind of two or three weeks back, where it's just like, I hope he just kind of hangs in the studio with Diplo a little bit more.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because I wouldn't mind a couple of climaxes on this upcoming album.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, we talked about this on the Must Hear Music podcast. But yeah, I think that he keeps putting out really great material. It doesn't really have like a home at radio. And let me, you know, while I'm saying that, let me get to the next question, which is by at MarkHalley01, who wants to know, do you guys think Usher will ever have a number one hit again? And I think that's a tough question because it's like I probably would say yes, because I think he's smart enough to work with the people that will get him number one records, like Max Martin, like Swedish House Mafia. Like, I mean, he did that song with Pitbull. Like, he's not like afraid to work with people who are obviously very popular and will make very crowd pleasing music. But everything he has released from this record so far, well, I guess She Came to Give It to You, the absurdly long titled.
You do not like that, the fact that title is that long.
It's 7 words. but it's produced by Pharrell and it has Nicki Minaj. So it's like, obviously it's like, he performed it at the VMAs. That's obviously what I mean.
Is it him?
Has
like Pharrell and Mike Will and Nicki Minaj and all these people working with him, it's just like, I guess that's where the question comes up or comes from, where it's like, is it the label? Is it him? And I think it's more the label waiting for him to kind of, I mean, and he told us, he told us on Friday that he just kind of wants to have fun. And I think that a lot of artists have that. I think that's just, a lot of artists say that, but I think it's more them saying, I just want to kind of play around for a bit and see what sticks for them before giving it to us and seeing what sticks for us and on the charts.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, and I respect that. I'd rather him do that and wait, have us wait a little bit than give us another, she came to give it to you.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't a huge fan of.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I would have loved to see this year? I just thought of this now. For the 10th anniversary of Yeah and Confessions, what if Usher had just been like, all right, guys, I'm putting out a song produced by Lil Jon and featuring Ludacris? Like,
no.
No?
I mean, listen,
that.
I would love a reissue of Confessions.
No.
Maybe another track with Shine on it. No. I would rather.
Now he's gone too far.
I'd rather another song with Shine with Ludacris. I'm not that excited to hear Ludacris in 2014.
Oh.
Lil Jon has a way of reinventing himself for 2014.
But he only needs to show up for like 30 seconds of that song.
30 seconds is very long.
All right. Well, I guess my dream will have to die on this podcast. Actually, let's get to Mark Halley 01's second part of his question. He asks, after asking about Usher, does R&B represent the same things it did in the 90s? Hashtag ask the juice.
That's very serious, very yeah. suspenseful.
I know.
Can I just answer and say no? I mean, I hope it doesn't. I mean, I think why we're such big fans of Frank Ocean and Miguel and all these other R&B artists is the fact that it continues to evolve. I mean, I feel like they still want to represent something that's very emotional, close to the heart, and still is connected to the roots of R&B with soul and blues. But I don't think that it is definitely the same thing. I think that it wants that R&B artists want it to represent more than just that.
Yeah, I feel like R&B, I think the biggest difference between now and the 90s is the reluctance to just go into straight ballads. Like, it seems like in the 90s, like, ballads were like a really profitable means to exposure. And you, like, now, like, you hear, like, Stay With Me sometimes, and then you hear, like, Adele's like Someone Like You, but like those are the exceptions. Like, you can't really break as a big R&B artist unless you have something like fun and catchy and at least mildly up tempo. Like, you're just yeah. I feel like Unbreak My Heart, like I just don't think that song would work.
Yeah, I mean,
this year.
I think that we would want it to work. I think nostalgia is a blessing and a curse, and the curse being that it could hold us captive, and yeah. I think that's where that comes in. But also, I mean, you have rappers that sing now, like a lot of today's rappers.
Yeah, that's true.
Whether good singing or bad singing, they still sing. So it's just like, you can't just be out here and sing and say that you're an R&B artist. Like, you have to do more or be more.
Yeah, it's true. I just think that, I think that's the biggest difference to me. Okay, so moving on. At Fine Breezy X wants to know, and shockingly, it's a Chris Brown question. Hey, Erica. Chris Brown is going to be the king of R&B with X album. Do you think his tour is going to slay?
I think you should use the term slay more often.
No, I'm not. That's a direct quote. I'm not. That is, the slay is not my word.
I have listened to X this week and a little bit of last week as a preview. And I'm actually a big fan, at least for the first 2-3 listens. And I'm not sure if he will be the king of R&B, but I do think that he is a very talented guy, a very talented singer and dancer. And that being said, I do think that his tour will be one. I mean, I feel like every time he performs, it's...
Yeah, I think that of his many talents... I think dancing is probably Chris Brown's strong suit. So if you're going to go to his tour, he'll probably have a really great visual show. I've always said, and I've said this the past few years, every time Chris Brown performs on like an award show, it always kind of seems like he's doing the same thing to me a little bit. I would love to see Chris Brown just go out and like just sing, because he has a good voice. Like just sing, just like go out in front of a microphone, like pull a Sam Smith and just
like
go
an
out.
Acoustic set.
Yes,
that would be interesting.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Like I'd be down for that.
Yeah, I think.
And
that...
I'm not by no means like a big Chris Brown fan, but like that would be at least interesting to me.
I think that'd be cool to do like one and major, like four or five major cities, and then I think Chris Brown is a stadium artist, which is a good thing, not a bad thing. Also, he's rumored to be touring with Trey Songz.
Yeah.
Now, there will be panties thrown everywhere on that tour.
Everywhere? Oh, my
not
goodness.
Not just on stage.
Not just even in the arena, but just like you walk out of it on the streets. Just like taxi cabs.
I wouldn't put it past fans, Chris Brown and Trey Songz fans. Like, they
Trey Songz
are
fans.
Very loyal fans. Majority, I assume, are girls that are just excited. I mean, like...
have you ever been to... You've seen Trey Songz.
I've seen Trey Songz perform. I've seen Chris Brown, but I've seen him at, like, festivals, like Summer Jam.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I just... I understand what you're saying as far as, like, his performance seeming the same. After his new Flame video, which he, like, co-directed or directed himself, I would be interested to see, like, visuals or, like, more of a stage presence, more of like a Kanye West type of thing where he could play around with visuals and background and all that.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
Well, there you go. We have a couple more questions, Erica. Echo PHC wants to know, I feel like it's a good time to say, to thank everyone for sending in these questions.
Yes.
Very nice of everyone.
Thank
you. Echo PHC wants to know, hey, Erica, will Nicki Minaj ever get a number one song on the Hot 100? Now, let me preface that, because we talked about this in the Pop Shop podcast, that Anaconda is now her highest charting hit ever because it's reached number two on the Hot 100. Before that, Super Bass was number three. She's never had a number one. Do you think that she'll ever get a number one?
What if this is going to be her number one?
It might be.
I hope this wasn't a shot at Nicki Minaj, by the way. I think that she very much has the potential to have a number one. And as you mentioned, Anaconda's at number two. So this possibly could be her first number one. She has 11 top 10s in the Hot 100 as the most, she has the most top 10s on the Hot 100 amongst women. So, I mean, this might be, Anaconda might be, and I could see it. I could see Anaconda being her number one song. She's, Ellen did a spoof of the video, which was kind of funny that happened this week. I think that just a little bit more buzz around Anaconda may make that song number one.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to happen. She's too big of a star for to not have a number one single. I mean, and sometimes these things just take time. Like, last year, Miley Cyrus, like... Party in the USA went to number two. We Can't Stop went to number two. And then Wrecking Ball went to number one. So it was like, it was weird for a while that Miley Cyrus didn't have a number one hit, but then Wrecking Ball was there. So
right. And speaking of Miley Cyrus and Wrecking Ball, the Anaconda video broke, you know, that Miley Cyrus Wrecking Ball YouTube.
And it probably, Anaconda probably would have been number one, but the video came out the same week that Taylor Swift's Shake It Off came out.
Mm-hmm. That's why I keep you around, pop editor.
Yeah,
pop
that's
shop
what
editor.
I do. So, Cali Class 24. Hey, Cali Class wants to know.
This is a special shout out to Cali Class.
Well, you're from
Class.
California.
Oh.
I'm just saying. Wants to know. Hey, Erica, do you know what's happening between Lupe Fiasco and Atlantic Records for his release?
I feel like that's a very... interesting question, because this person clearly knows that Lupe Fiasco has had beef with Atlantic Records.
Yes.
But also to say that, I mean, Lupe comes after the album is released. Lupe then says that he did not want that album, that the label kind of made him put out that album. And I feel like a lot of artists do that. I think Wiz even did that once when he was just like, that wasn't the album that I wanted to put out, but the label wanted so-and-so hits. And I think that's just very common in rap. Lupe Fiasco is still on Atlantic Records. His next album, which does not have a date yet, will be on Atlantic Records. So I think that hopefully they now have a better understanding as to what each one wants to do. I also think that they should understand Lupe Fiasco feels like he's one of those artists that one day he wants to do a certain type of song and the next day he wants to do another type of song. And I think it's the problem is finding a balance of both to kind of not only make him happy, make them happy, and make fans happy. But I've now come to the understanding that that's the artist he is. Where
isn't it so crazy to think that Lupe Fiasco has only released 4 albums? Like, that's insane to me. He's just been around for so long and has had so many projects, and like, he's only had 4 albums?
I feel like that's surprising because there's so much controversy always around Lupe Fiasco. Yeah. It's always, and it comes from him just pretty much speaking his mind and then getting moody and blocking people on Twitter. But I mean, Lupe is an emotional guy. I mean, I think that comes with Lupe. You got to love him or leave him, you know?
All right, we only have one more question. It is from @blatantlybeager, who wants to know, hey, Erica, how did you come up with the name The Juice? And what is your favorite juice? I don't know the answer to the second one.
You don't?
I don't.
Okay, well, I will start with the first, which I actually did not come up with the name The Juice. The Juice became my baby around, I want to say, and Jason, you can correct me because you were here before me, 3 or 4 months before I came to Billboard in like 2011.
Yep.
So my predecessor probably had a hand in naming it The Juice, Mariel Concepcion, who's a freelance writer and a mommy that lives in Cali. So she probably had a hand, and other Billboard staffers had a hand in naming the juice. Now the question of what is my favorite juice?
Yes.
Well, probably
can
not.
Can I guess?
Yes, you can. You have two guesses. There aren't many.
I feel like it's got to be apple.
Well, why would you think that it's apple?
Because I feel like, for those who don't know Erica, we frequently go out to get lunch together in terms, just to quickly bring something back to the office. And what Erica likes to do is buy beverages that you might see in an elementary school lunch. Something like...
So you're calling me a child.
I'm not calling you a child. I'm calling your beverage choice has a childlike wonder to it. But you frequently get like little cartons of milk.
Since November, I'm apparently allergic to milk, so I no longer do. But I did. Okay, I drink milk with everything. Of milk, yes.
And I feel like you also get like apple juice.
I do enjoy some apple juice from time to time.
But is that your favorite juice?
That is not my favorite juice.
Okay, so that was my
first guess. I am going to live up to my my heritage and say that my favorite juice is mango juice.
Oh, live up to your heritage.
I feel like it wasn't that the Mayan gods will strike me down. But since I hardly can find bottles of mango juice, my second favorite juice is cranberry juice.
Cranberry juice. I feel like that, like that's like me being like, I'm going to live up to my heritage and say my favorite juice is matzah juice.
And if that was it, I would not judge you. You can judge me. Anyone could judge me.
I don't know. I love mango juice. I just like your reasoning behind it. The Mayan gods would strike you down. I wouldn't want that to happen because of juice preference.
Exactly. So we need to find out how to get mango juice in this office.
Yeah.
But blatantly beager. I appreciate that question.
I feel like we've learned a lot about you today, a lot about the juice, a lot about hip hop and R&B.
I appreciate you, Jason, for being on this episode of the Juice Podcast.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.